See, this morning we continue with part three of our series, This Is What We Do. And for us here at CORE, like I talked about earlier, November for us is always Generosity Month. And I understand that over the last few years since I've been here, that this has just become a natural part of our vocabulary come every November. But undoubtedly, as we throw this word generosity around, and as we couple those two things together throughout November and look at all of the things that we can and should be doing, undoubtedly, we begin to have these questions, right? Like for you and for me, as we begin thinking about this word generosity, it brings all of these thoughts and all of these uncertainties to the table. We begin thinking things like, well, why is generosity even important at all? Or what does this thing called generosity really look like? We begin thinking things like, Ben, do you understand that generosity is going to force me to rearrange my life? Do you understand that this is going to cramp my budget? Do you understand that this is going to keep me from having as much fun as what I want to have? And from the outside, we begin to think that, do you understand that every time you say this G word, that every time you say generosity, that every time you say giving, that from the outside, that this just makes me a little bit uncomfortable. You see, whether we want to admit it or not, these are all of the questions and all of the thoughts that we have. And the reason that I say this is because the guy standing up here on stage has those exact same questions and those exact same thoughts. But our hope throughout this series, as we move through November, is that as we look at this word generosity, that we'll begin to redefine what it really means, not just by definition, but what it really means to live it out. That we begin to change our perspective and our mindset when it comes to this thing called generosity. That we begin to push ourselves individually and push ourselves as a church to be people in a church that lead the way with irrational generosity. And why do we do that? Why is this thing called generosity so important? Well, it's because I believe this one incredibly simple truth. That in this world, the world that we presently live in, the world that you walk in every single day of your lives, in this world, there is so much more power in giving than in receiving. There is so much more potential in giving than in receiving. There is so much more of a difference to be made in giving than in receiving. You see, in that one statement, think about it. How drastically would our lives change if we began to live by that one simple truth? That if we began to operate under that belief system, that for you and for I, there is so much more power in giving than in receiving. See, a few years ago, I had a volunteer who served under me regularly and religiously. She did an incredible job at serving with our students. But over the course of her time serving with me, we had many conversations. And a lot of times the conversations revolved around their financial standing as a family. And so they had two teenage daughters, and her husband at the time was having a hard time. They had just scaled back his hours at work. And they were having a hard time of putting the pieces together financially. And at one point, she shared with me, Ben, I'm just not exactly sure what we're going to do. We're about $2,000 behind on our mortgage, and the bank is already beginning to threaten foreclosure on us, and we have these two teenage girls, and where do we go? What do we do? How do we fit these pieces together? And I can remember her coming back up to me a few months later. And she said, Ben, I just wanted to share this with you because I know that we've had a lot of conversations about our financial standing. She said, several weeks ago, my husband and I, we sat down and we had a letter on our table from the mortgage company. And as we cried over this and as we thought about this, We felt like with all of our hearts that even though everything else in our life was in shambles, that God was calling us to just give something. That God was calling us to just prove to him that he was first in our lives. And so we didn't really have much. In fact, we had nothing, but we decided, you know what? We're going to set a goal, and this is what we're going to begin giving at the first of every single month to God. And every week, we're going to walk through this, no matter what it brings to the table. And she looked at me, and she said, Ben, about 3 weeks after we made this decision to start doing this and walking through this, I can remember this clear as day. We had this bill on the table for pretty much $2,000. And there was a lady who walked up to me, one of my friends, and she said, you know, I'm not really sure what's going on in your life. I'm not really sure what you're struggling with, but my family, we just felt like we needed to give this to you. And she handed her an envelope. And so, you know, just in the shame of the moment, she didn't open the envelope up there, but she waited until she got home. She sat down with her husband and cracked open the envelope. And in the envelope was the exact dollar amount of what was left on unpaid dues on their mortgage. You see, as I thought about this story and the incredible hand of God in this, I promise I don't normally get emotional this early into the service. But what immediately came to my mind was this question. Wouldn't you love to be a part of a blessing like that? Wouldn't you love to get a blessing like that? And I think when I ask that question, for most of us in the room, our immediate answer is absolutely. I would love to be a part of a blessing where in my life, that I had a check written for me for the exact amount that we needed to get through. That I was blessed with $1,000 or $2,000, that God knew my deepest needs, and that someone stepped forward and provided that blessing for me. And while that's an incredible blessing, that's not actually the blessing that I'm talking about in that question. You see, the blessing that I'm talking about is how would you like to be a part of being the one who gave the blessing? Because deep in my heart, no matter where we stand financially, deep in my heart, what I know, and this doesn't just pertain to money, is that the greatest blessings in our lives always stem from things that have been given away, not things that have been received. Did you catch that? Because that's a bold statement that we don't think through a whole lot. That the greatest and blessings in our lives always stem from the things that have been given away, not the things that have been received. But becoming this generous gift giver, I mean, what it really requires, and it's something that we've sort of hit around the outskirts as we've been talking through this the last couple weeks, what it really requires is it requires this change of mindset, right? I mean, it requires us to live life from a perspective of abundance, focusing on the things that we have rather than constantly focusing on the things that we don't have. It requires to shift our mindset from this, what we've been talking about the first 2 weeks in the series, this scarcity mindset that as we have things provided for us, our stuff, that's what's on the top line, our stuff is given to us, our natural first reaction is we consume. And in our consumption, it immediately leads to stuff runs out, and so we lack. And in our lacking, we fear, and the best medication for our fear is more consumption, right? That's what I do. That's what we do. In the midst of our fear, our best medication for that is to just continue the cycle. And so we consume, for me, more and more and more. But becoming this incredible gift giver, becoming a part of the blessing from the other side, requires us to abandon this and switch to this. You see, it's right there in your weekly for you, and this is an incredible time for you to crack that open and for you to look at this and hang on to this. But this is the mindset that God desires with all of his heart for you and for I to live in every single day of our lives. It's this mindset that says when we have stuff, our first reaction doesn't stem from consumption, but from at least giving something away. And so we give. And in a God who always has been and always will be faithful, he always proves himself faithful by multiplying, sometimes in ways unseen. Like sometimes that's the part of the equation that gets left off the stage. But sometimes the multiplication effort, we don't get to see that. And we have to be okay with that sometimes. But we trust that a God who is faithful always multiplies. And as we see or as we trust that he multiplies, it automatically leads to my faith and your faith grows in those moments. And as our faith grows, our natural reaction in that moment is we want to continue the cycle as well. God, what else do you got? What else is up your sleeve? And so we continue the cycle, and the next time we have stuff, we react by giving first, and then God multiplies, and then our faith grows. And the cycle continues and continues and continues, and it's this mindset, this very mindset is the one that allows us to reach our generosity potential. You see, nothing else in this world will help us be more generous people other than living like this in our lives. Nothing else will help us control our stuff instead of our stuff controlling us. Did you catch that? Because that's vital to our lives. So often we go through life, we don't even know it, but we allow our stuff to control our hearts instead of our hearts controlling our stuff. You see, this mindset breaks that stranglehold in our life. But what's so difficult about it is if we go back to that first slide really quickly, what's so difficult is that this mindset is normal, right? Like when we look around at the people in our lives, when we look around the world, this mindset is normal. Like minimal generosity is normal. Consumption and overconsumption is normal in the world that we live in. And I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. But I can say this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I am tired of being normal. Does anybody else feel that in their hearts? Like, I'm tired of being normal. I'm tired of the rest of the world looking at me and all they see is normal. I'm tired of just being normal and average or below average in the way that I make a difference in this world with the stuff that's been given to me. And what I believe in, the way that I want to live is every other Christ follower in this world can choose that we're just going to do the minimal amount possible in generosity to get by. Every other church in this world can go that direction. But I refuse. But we refuse. Why? Because this is what we do. Because this is what we have been called to do. And here at Core, what I also understand is in our personal lives and in our journey as a church, this journey, it's always full of steps. And I look at us, I look at myself, and what I can acknowledge, and maybe you would admit it too, is we're not where we want to be yet. But by making this statement, this is what we do, what we're saying is this is who we will strive to become every single day. We will move the needle towards being irrationally generous in this world. We will always move the needle towards leading the way with irrational generosity. And so as we talk about that, the question that always remains is this. Will you join us? Will you join us at CORE? Will you join Krista and I? Will you become a part of the we with us that helps us no matter what? Whether it's like a story that we're going to talk about later and you've only got 2 coins to throw in, but that helps us lead the way with irrational generosity. And I know that as we've worked through this series and as we've posed that question, there are probably some of you out there who are saying, oh, yeah, I'm already there. Yeah, I'm in. Or absolutely, I would love to do that. I want to be more generous. I want to get to a place where I can be a part of the we and start to live in irrational generosity. But the question that always keeps coming back is, how do we get there? Ben, how do we get to where we're leading the way with irrational generosity? How do we become abundant givers, right? Gift givers that lead with this mindset of abundance instead of scarcity. What are the steps that we need to take to make an irrational difference in this world through irrational generosity? Because let's side note for a second. That's the only reason that we're talking about this. Because we at CORE believe that minimal generosity leads to minimal world difference. Minimal generosity leads to minimal heart difference in myself. But irrational generosity makes an irrational difference in the world. Irrational generosity makes an irrational difference in Ben Carver's heart, in your heart. And so what does it look like to give in such a way that our heart and our world change irrationally for the better? See, this morning, I believe that for us to begin to take these steps out of scarcity and into abundance, it requires us to do a few things, to begin to make a few changes in our lives that will shake the foundation of who we are and how much our stuff controls us. It will change our mindset from that mindset of constantly living in scarcity to being able to live in abundance. And you see, I believe that it all begins here. That the way that we become abundant givers with our stuff begins when we start to give spontaneously. When we start to give spontaneously. Now, I don't know about you, but let me just admit something to you. Like when I throw out that word, when I put that word in the notes this week, I have to admit it sent just a little shiver up my spine. Because I've admitted to you guys before, I am a plan guy. Every Monday morning, my first task, and this doesn't go on the to-do list, but my first task is to make a to-do list. And so there are 40 to 45 things every single week that I write down because I know they have to get done. I know what order in which they have to get done in, and I want to make sure that they get done in the right way. And so every week, I know I have to write this down. Everything gets written down. Everything gets a plan. Everything gets a process for it throughout just my time management in a week. And so I'm a guy that when you say the word spontaneous, is like, generosity made me uncomfortable. Don't bring spontaneous into it, right? Like I should apologize to my wife. Because spontaneous with that mindset probably isn't real abundant in our marriage either. But the reality is why we start here with this one that's so incredibly difficult is because I also believe that this one is the most sure marker of whether we are making a change from scarcity to abundance, right? This one helps us understand best whether we are shifting from scarcity to abundance in our mindset. It's the easiest one to get overlooked, but it's one of the most important ones as we begin to make this mindset change in our lives. And it happens in this way. When we see a need, we give to it. When we see a need, we give to it. When we see someone or something in need, we become the somebody who stands in the gap. Right? That's what spontaneous giving is. When we see someone or something in need, we become the somebody who stands in the gap. And we make a conscious decision that when we see somebody in need, we will step forward and give. You see, this is what happens in one of the most popular accounts that Jesus ever tells. It's a story that maybe a lot of us have heard before. And it's the story of the Good Samaritan. If you've never heard this story before of the Good Samaritan, the story goes something like this. There was a Jewish man who was walking along the side of the road. And as he was walking, he was basically mugged and beaten and left on the side of the road for dead. And as he was laying there, grasping for his life, a man walks by. In fact, a Jewish religious leader walks by, sees the man, goes to the other side of the road, and keeps on walking. And then a second man comes, a man that also, as a Jew, should have been closely related to, walks by, sees the man, and continues to walk on by. And then the story goes, and here's where like the gasping would have taken place as Jesus told this story. Well, if the Jewish priest walked by the Jewish man, everybody's going to walk by. But here comes the Samaritan. And they were like, Jesus, shut up. You're a Jew. You don't even say the S word. And the Samaritan, the mortal enemy of Jews, sees this man, goes over to him, and begins to help him. Picks him up, puts him on the donkey, transports him to the inn, and begins to give where he sees a need. You see, how we know that is here's how the story ends. In Luke chapter 10, verse 35, it'll come up on the screen. It's also in your weekly for you. But it says this, the next day he, the Samaritan, handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. The Samaritan saw a need, didn't exactly know what it was going to cost him, but he saw the need and he stepped forward spontaneously, just walking down the street, and gave to it. You see, as I was reading this story this week, there was sort of this new revelation that came over me, one that I had never thought of before. But those first two men, when we read the story of the Good Samaritan, what do we always think? Those dudes had a people-loving problem, right? Like, they just didn't care about people. They didn't love people the way they should. That was their problem. And while that's partially true, I also think there's something equal that is true as well. And that is, those first two dudes, they had a stuff problem. Because guess what? Walking over to that side of the road and finding a way to help this guy get better, it was going to cost them something. There was a cost associated to that. I don't want to have any cost. Like, trust me, if it was just like he had fallen down and we could reach over and just help him up and he would go on our way and we would live our lives, those dudes, they probably would have went and they'd have done that. But there was a stuff issue in their heart. I don't want this to cost me anything, and so I'll just keep right on going. But we choose to do something different. We choose to live like the Samaritan, and we give spontaneously. We give unexpectedly when we see someone or something in need. This summer, as some of you guys might know, we had an opportunity to go on our first global impact trip to Guatemala. And as we were there, there were so many incredible occurrences, so many things that we got to do with the kids that were so much fun. And we as a group decided that as the church, we were going to pay for all of these different excursions for the kids to do that they wouldn't get to do without someone paying for it. And so we went to museums and we went to parks and we went to what they called a water park, but it was just a whole bunch of pools around this place. And so we got to share in all of these different experiences with them. And as that all sort of wrapped up, the Hope Chest staff sat down with me and they said there were some things that happened and we overestimated on how much it was going to cost. And so you've already paid this amount of money. You're about $200 over. So we can just go ahead and we just wanted to let you know that we can refund that money or do whatever that you would like with it. And so as I thought about that, I decided there was another orphanage that we were visiting while we were there. There's no point in giving it back. And let me just say this. On this trip, for us as a church, we took a little bit of a bath on it. There were a lot of expenses that we weren't expecting along the way, with it being the very first time. And so the first thing that went through my mind was, it'd be nice to get a couple $100 back. It'd be nice to recoup some of our losses. And we said, you know what, with that $200, why don't you take it and just split it down the middle and give $100 just to our care point and give $100 to the orphanage. And so they took the money and they did just that. The morning that we were going to leave, it was about 4 a.m, and our Hope Chest staff sat down with me again. They said, we just wanted to share this story with you. As we took your check and we handed it over to Jamara, she shared with us that over the past couple of months, financially, they had been too short to supply for the staff that were working there. And so they were about 800 Q's, which is the Guatemalan currency, short of being able to pay their staff. The Q translation to American dollars is 8 Q's to every $1. And so our $100 gift equated to 800 Q's to pay every single staff member their wages and what they were behind at the care point. See, those moments of spontaneous giving, like, that was so exciting for me to be a part of. It was so exciting for our team to be a part of that spontaneous giving and to step out and do something. And guess what? In that moment, we didn't even know that there was a tangible need. Like, obviously, everything is poor around there, and so there's going to be some sort of a need. But we didn't even know what the specific need was, and we just gave to it. And to be able to see God's perfect hand in that situation, to see him working through just that incredible, irrational, spontaneous gift. Like, that's an incredible moment to be a part of. You want to talk about irrational giving? Spontaneous is irrational. Because there's no promise that that spontaneous gift is going to cure what that person is going through. There's no promise that that spontaneous gift is a financially smart decision for you. That's just the way that it works. But we choose to lead the way with irrational generosity by giving spontaneously. Krista and I had our discussion this week, you know, the one that I challenged you to last week. And I had already written my message for this week, and so I said to her, I just want you to share and tell me what's on your heart, and I'm going to refrain from telling you what's on my heart. And my wife, in that moment, looked back at me and unknowingly what I was going to talk about this week, said, Ben, I feel like as a family, we do a pretty good job of planning out what we're going to give, planning out how to be more generous. But we aren't very spontaneous in our giving. Like, we don't really ever do anything where we see somebody who needs something and so we just give to it. She said, I feel like we need to get better. I feel like we could be better. And so for us, we made a commitment that starting on that day, that going forward, that we were going to become more spontaneous in the ways that we give. We don't do it right well right now, but we're committing to take steps in that direction. We choose to live in abundance by the way we can give spontaneously. The second is we choose to give strategically. right? This is sort of the normal one that we always think of. And many of us might say, well, I want to give more. I want to be more generous. And the truth is this. It's possible. It's possible to do that. But only if we begin to develop a plan about it. Only if we start to rearrange some things to make it possible. Increased generosity always requires a strategy. It always requires a plan. And here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8. God says this to us. But generous people, help me out. Plan. They plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Generous people plan to do what is generous, and they hold or they stand firm in their generosity. You see, whether you know it or not this morning, every single one of us has a plan for our money. It's just that most of our plans aren't very good. Right? I mean, we all plan to spend. We all plan to consume. But what if we took a little bit of that planning to spend, just a little bit of the planning, not all the planning to spend, what if we took just a little bit of the planning to spend and began to plan around what would it look like for me to make a bigger difference in this world by planning to be generous, by becoming strategic in our generosity? That can happen. It can happen that our hearts and our actions can change when it comes to generosity. But it will not happen by accident. Did you catch that? Changing our mindset, changing our generosity, it doesn't happen by accident. It requires a plan. And here's something else that Krista and I talked through as we were talking about this, right? Go leave it to the planning guy to make this correlation. That we could actually get more spontaneous if we actually plan to be spontaneous, right? Like we could set ourselves up to be spontaneous in the moment if on the forefront we just said, guess what? Here's all the things that we are planning to do, and here's a separate pot that's set aside just for spontaneous. That it can actually, planning strategically, make us more spontaneous. I felt okay about that. I felt good about that, right? It made sense in my mind that that's the way that things work out. You see, for us, setting this plan, it allows us to be freer in our generosity. Like, do you realize that? That sometimes we think budgeting and constraints makes us more restricted. It doesn't. Budgeting actually makes you freer to do the things that you actually know you want to do. Having a strategic plan gives you the freedom to be more generous. Having a plan and a strategy goes back to the thing that we keep saying. When we plan our money, guess what? Your money no longer controls you. You start to take control of your money. And that's where generosity springs from. When we begin to give spontaneously, we give strategically, and lastly, we choose to give sacrificially. Do you realize that true generosity always requires a certain degree of pain? Like, that's the cool thing, and that's the unfortunate thing about generosity, is that it always requires just a little bit of pain. It always requires a sacrifice of something. We give up the things we love for the things we love even more. Freebie, write that one down. We give up the things we love for the things we love even more. We give up the things we love for the spouse we love even more. We give up the things we love for the people we love even more. We give up the things we love for the church we love even more. We give up the things we love for the God we love even more. Generosity requires sacrifice. And I love this story. It's one of the greatest stories, right? For all of us poor people, this is an incredible story. For those of us who feel like we just don't have enough, this is an incredible story. In Mark chapter 12, there's this moment where Jesus is sitting at the synagogue. And as the service is sort of going and as it's breaking up, he sits there and he just watches people. And as he's watching people, he sees people begin to put things in the offering for the week. And this lady catches his attention. And as she does, here's how the story goes. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. So Jesus stopped and he made it all about the amount and he celebrated that. They must have a different version up there. Then a poor widow, that's not how the story went. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on." You see, in this story, what do we see? Jesus doesn't celebrate the amount. In fact, when it comes to this woman, Jesus doesn't give a hoot about the amount that she put in there. You know what Jesus celebrated? He celebrated the sacrifice that was made. He celebrated not the amount, but what was sacrificed in that moment. Abundant givers give until it hurts. That's irrational. But when is the last time that we have received this incredible blessing by giving sacrificially? We gave up something for ourselves to be a massive blessing to somebody else, to stand in the gap for somebody else who needed it more than we did. We are Christ followers. This is what we do. We give spontaneously. We give strategically. We give sacrificially. And let me say it again this morning. I'll say it every single week of this series because I want it to be as loud and as clear as possible. The reason we talk about this is because we believe that in your generosity, there is an incredible blessing waiting for you. In the midst of changing from scarcity to abundance, there is an incredible blessing waiting for you. And so find a place. Find a church. To begin to start taking these steps and to begin giving. And let me say this. It does not need to be Core Community Church. If you don't trust us, if you don't believe us, if you don't believe in our vision of being a church that is fully committed to reaching the unchurched, then I'm okay with you finding someplace else to give your money to. That's okay. Because I want you to experience the incredible blessings in your life that come with increased generosity. I want you to experience the blessing that comes in investing in God's plan for the hope of the world. I want you to experience the incredible blessing that comes from controlling your money instead of allowing your money to control you. I want you to experience this incredible blessing of irrationally changing the world through irrational generosity. I want you to experience the blessing of leading the way and setting the example of what generosity should and could look like. I want you to experience the blessing of living in abundance and not in scarcity. You see, this is what we do. And this is what we don't do. Around here, we don't pass the plate. we don't pass it once, we certainly don't pass it twice, and when the need's not being met, we don't lock the doors and pass it a third time. For us around here, we don't stand up on the stage and ask you to give to unexpected circumstances like a leaky roof or something that we want. And up here, we certainly don't ask you to do something that we as leaders aren't willing to do as well. And so what I hope you see in my heart and in my wife's heart is that Krista and I, as leaders of this church, are committed to leading the way with irrational generosity, of walking in front of you in that, of setting an example of what it's supposed to look like. And as a church, we will continue to push the envelope. And we will continue to steward the resources that you've entrusted us with to the very best of our ability to make an irrational difference in the world and in our city. You see, what we as CORE recognize is this, that the church was never called to make you do anything. The church can't force you to be irrationally generous people. That wasn't God's design for us. But we believe with all of our heart that God's design for us as the church was for us to be the jump starter of things in your life, to be the jump starter of your relationship with Christ, to be the jump starter of some things and some steps that you need to take to become who God is calling you to be. And so as we thought about this calling on us, and we thought about that being the jump starter paired with this thought of generosity, how do we effectively do that in your life? How do we help you with that? How do we come alongside of you in that? And the very best solution that we could come up with is this. What if we modeled what it looked like to give it away, to help you give it away? In your weekly this morning, if you crack that open right now, you'll see a little envelope in there. On the envelope, it says, do not open it. And so hopefully none of you have been cheaters yet and opened that up. But right now is the moment to open that envelope. And in your envelope, what you're going to find is all different denominations, depending upon how lucky you are, of money. Of cash right there in your envelope. From us to you. And here's what we're asking you to do with the cash that's in your hand right now. We're asking you that over the next week as we head into Thanksgiving, or maybe it's over the next month as we head into the Christmas season, to use that money as a jump starter to your generosity. For you to take that cash and get creative with what it looks like to be some sort of a blessing in somebody else's life. And what we understand is that in this room, we are coming from all different places. And so if it's only the $5 or the $10 or the $20 that's in your weekly, if that's all you can do, then just do that. That's all we're asking for. But maybe for others of us, this is a jump starter. For a creative idea that we have, for something more that we want to do, that we use this just as the beginning of the pot to make an irrational difference in our world. What would it look like if the 100, 125 of us in this room just took that little bit that we think, oh, five, oh, 10, oh, 20 bucks, that's not going to make that much of a difference. What if we all began to make the difference that we could with what we had? I promise you, and in the same way, that $5 or that $10 or that $20, God, as we give, will multiply. And he will do something incredible and make an irrational difference with our irrational generosity. And what I know and what I believe is this, that we as a church haven't even scratched the surface of what it looks like to be irrationally generous in our world and in our city. And with that, I also believe that we as a church haven't even scratched the surface of what happens when a church rises up and begins to say, God, we want to be irrationally generous. And we are able to stand back. And we're able to see what God does and what he's capable of and the difference that he's able to do in our world when we step forward and we say, because of what you did, because of how you sacrificed first, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is who we are. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, no matter where we stand financially, no matter what struggles we're going through in our lives, no matter how much our heart is breaking in this moment, no matter how much we're wondering, how am I going to take the next step? No matter how much we're wondering, God, what are you doing? God, the reason that we talk about this generosity is because we believe that you're a God who's constantly walking with us and fighting for us. You're a God who knows us best and loves us most. And you know that there's an incredible blessing waiting in our world and in our own hearts when we step forward and begin to lead the way with your rational generosity. So God, in some small way or large way, you know exactly what our hearts can handle and what we're capable of. You don't celebrate the amount. God, you celebrate the sacrifice. So may we look for ways in our families and our individual lives, may we look for ways as a church to begin to give spontaneously, to begin to give strategically, and find ways to give sacrificially. May we be willing to not be normal anymore, to make an irrational difference in this world with our irrational generosity. It's in your name I pray. Amen. As we close this morning, would you stand with me? And as you stand, and as we feel like we're sort of on the back end of this series, and I understand that we've been talking about maybe some topics that have hit close to home. We've been talking about generosity and giving and things that make us uncomfortable and things we're not really sure how to navigate well. As we walk into this place and each of us find ourselves in different financial places, we have this tendency to believe that what I have can't really make much of a difference. Much like the woman who only threw two coins in. God's saying, I'm not working with the amount. The amount isn't what concerns me. What I'm working with and what I'm looking for is the heart. You see, when I see changed hearts, that's when I step in and I change the world. No matter if you gave 2 cents, I can take your 2 cents and I can make it a million like that. But I want you to be a part of this. And I want you to begin to transform yourself from looking at what you have, what you've been given in this scarcity mindset, to begin to look at it in abundance. So may today be the day for you. You begin to make that transition in some small way. And maybe that small way starts like this. Maybe it's just a quick stop at the table out in the lobby. That where we're gonna start is just packing an Operation Christmas Child box as a family and teaching our kids about generosity. Or maybe it's sitting down this afternoon for a half an hour with your $20 or your $10, whatever was in your envelope, and brainstorming what it would look like to use that as a jump starter for your generosity. We lead the way with irrational generosity because we are a church that knows and believes there is more power in giving than there is in receiving. Thank you guys so much for being here, for going through three parts of this series, This Is What We Do. I want to encourage you to come back next week with arms full of cereal and to help us finish out this series as we all look at what it means for our generosity to be spurred on by our gratitude. That true generosity springs out of how grateful we are. What a perfect week to talk about that. Have a great Thanksgiving. We hope to see you next Sunday.